This is the Winchester Talking newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 20th of January, 2023. Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking newspaper. I am your presenter, Barbara Kearns, and today I am accompanied in the studio by readers Daphne Poupart.
Hello.
Nick Kearns.
Hello.
And Paul Newman.
Hello.
The first thing to say is if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. However, before reporting the playback box as faulty, do make sure it's plugged in and fully charged up. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to a previous track if you want to listen to it again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, as well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, the most recent first on the list. Now let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle, starting with the news. These are the headlines. Neighbours haunted by lady's tragic death, landslip derails mainline services, and outstanding nursery gets top rating. And the first headline story, Daphne, please.
Yes, and it's neighbours haunted by lady's tragic death. A woman who died alone with her cats and was found days to weeks later was finally laid to rest more than a year later. Diane Robbins died at age 82 in her home in Stanmore in October 2021. Miss Robbins of Fox Lane was believed to have been dead for some time before the police found her. With no known friends or family, a neighbour battled to give the woman who loved her cats a dignified send-off. Questions have been raised about the level of care given to Ms. Robbins in the weeks running up to her death. According to one neighbour, who asked to remain anonymous, 15 cats were found dead inside the property. The man says he spent more than a year and a half calling the City Council, social services and the police for help before Ms. Robbins died. He added that the police visited on two occasions, but Ms. Robbins shouted from inside and they never went in. The funeral was attended by the Chronicle and three others at Wessex Vale Crematorium in Hedge End. Roberta Buhagia and D. O'Neill from Hedge End never knew Ms. Robbins, but went to the service to pay their respects after the details were shared on Facebook. Roberta, 45, said, "The history behind this is awful. No one should be left in that situation. She died on her own, and she shouldn't be on her own today. Her story really touched me." D. 59, said, "We came out of respect, as it's so sad. We as a society have a duty of care to look after one another." Also at the funeral was neighbour Emily Williams, who lived opposite Miss Robbins in Wolf Close. She said, "What upsets me is she probably was so lonely. Her story impacted me on such a deep level, and I thought coming here was the least I could do. She has been failed monumentally by so many different agencies. If one thing comes from this, I hope it's that it never happens again." The anonymous neighbour, who set up the funeral with Wessex Funeral Services, was unable to attend due to an emergency, but collected the flowers to lay outside Miss Robin's home in Fox Lane. He said, "I wish we could have done more. Both me and my wife and Emily were trying non-stop to get people to help Miss Robin's. I know we are haunted by this whole situation. I really hope serious lessons will be learnt from this, and it can never be allowed to happen again, especially in social housing where the council have a duty of care. They have failed Miss Robin's throughout, and they know this too. They put their heads down and say nothing. This is a reminder why it is so important to check on the vulnerable and elderly in our community. Nobody should be left to die alone. No matter what or if you know your neighbours, if something doesn't look right, you must do your bit to help. Don't just leave it or expect others to act." And that's illustrated by a picture of Miss Robin's coffin being taken into the crematorium, and underneath that, the flowers outside her flat. And there's one of a cat, which really is very sad.
Landslip derails mainline services. Major disruption is expected for train services following a large landslip damaging the main line from London. Thousands of Hampshire commuters had their travel plans disrupted by the incident earlier in the week, and work is set to continue on repairing the line over several days. The landslip on an embankment to the northeast of Hook Station has left one of the tracks hanging in mid-air and another track damaged. Commuters have been warned of major disruption and are being advised by Southwestern Railway to check before they travel, as there will be major changes to train services for some time. Guidance earlier in the week was to not travel from south or west of Basingstoke, including Winchester and Andover, towards London, or from London towards the south or west of Basingstoke. Network Rail Wessex route director Mark Killick said, "This is a huge landslip and will have a massive effect on customers. The main line to Basingstoke is the spine of our railway, and there will be knock-on impacts across the route. I can only apologise for the scale of the disruption, and please ask that customers check before they travel this week, not just on the affected section, but all the way up the line to London Waterloo, where many of the trains that would use this section of railway start and finish their journeys. We're still assessing the damage, and it's difficult to put a detailed timescale in place, but we know it's going to be at least a week. We will need to stabilise the embankment, essentially stopping it moving, and then rebuild the railway where it has slid away. Please look out for further updates from Southwestern Railway on the revised timetable once this has been able to be confirmed." The slip has left only two tracks of the four-track railway passable by trains, with both tracks designed to be used by London-bound trains only. The embankment is made up of a mixture of London clay and other local soils, and has been saturated by days of heavy rain and the wet winter. The incident happened when the soil gave way along a 44-metre section of 10-metre-high embankment, sliding out from underneath the tracks in what engineers have called a rotational failure. Network Rail and its suppliers are working on designs for the work needed to repair the railway, which will give a clearer idea of timescales. A train plan with journey options for customers on the route will be published as soon as possible. And there is indeed an accompanying photograph showing the rails hanging in mid-air and the embankment missing underneath.
Otterburn Nursery and Preschool received an outstanding Ofsted rating. A day nursery and preschool in Otterbourne has been rated outstanding following an Ofsted inspection. Bright Horizons Otterbourne Day Nursery and Preschool was inspected on December the 1st last year, with Ofsted's report praising the management of the nursery and highlighting the skills children are taught. The report said children gain important and valuable skills such as how to manage their own personal and physical needs. They are exceptionally well prepared for the next stage of their learning. It continued, parents are fully involved in their children's learning and feel valued. They highly praise the manager and staff and report that their children make amazing progress in their learning and development. Bright Horizons manager Kim Dubell said the team are incredibly proud to have achieved an outstanding result, as it reflects the hard work we put in every day to ensure the very best for our children and families. And there's a photograph of the about 16 under fives, and they're all holding the word outstanding, a letter each. Most of them below their waist, and then there's one child that has this D, which is really near his face, and it really looks rather rather amusing. And all the staff are standing behind with their arms raised in glee.
Lovely description. Thank you. That concludes the headline stories. I'll go on now with the death notices, and then Daphne will follow afterwards with Christian comment. Here are the death notices. Ayers, Presswell, Sally. Sally passed away peacefully at Beechcroft Manor Nursing Home, Gosport, on Sunday the 8th of January, after a brave battle with early onset Alzheimer's disease. Bidgood, Ian Robert, formerly of Colden Common, Winchester, former mayor and city councillor of Winchester, passed away peacefully in West Abbey Care Centre, Yeovil, aged 93. Coleman, Nina, passed away at Maroola Lodge Nursing Home, Camberley, on the 24th of December 2022, aged 96 years. Faithful, Ronald, passed away at Royal Hampshire County Hospital on Saturday the 7th of January 2023, aged 90 years. Greenwood, Hazel Francis. Hazel passed away unexpectedly at the Royal County Hospital on the 21st of December 2022. Sylvester, Betty Alice Ann, passed away peacefully on the 10th of January at Challoner House Care Home, aged 93. Solemn, Michael Charles, passed away peacefully on the 20th of December 2022, aged 78. Stainer, Wendy Joyce, suddenly passed away on the 1st of January 2023, aged 73 years. Now, Christian comment has been written by Liz Tatham this week. The title is Why Christmas is Not Yet Over. Thank you, Daphne.
We are now well on the way to the next liturgical season, having come through Christmas, Epiphany, and all the lovely and familiar times, moving towards the presentation of Jesus at the temple, when he is recognised as the Promised One, the Saviour, by Simeon. We call this feast Candlemas on the 2nd of February. Many of us leave our cribs up until then to remind us that the Holy Family are still lodging in the stable at Bethlehem, still homeless and potentially of refugee status. Excuse me. The presentation happens 40 days after Jesus' birth, when Mary and Joseph travel to the temple to complete the ritual purification of Mary. They take two turtle doves for their offering, as they are too poor for the usual offering of a lamb. In the midst of this old ritual, they encounter Simeon, a prophet, who has been promised he will not see death until he has seen the Lord. He recognises the Christ child and recites his now well-known Nunc Dimittis. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And that's Luke 2, verse 26. He also prophesies to Mary that a sword will pierce her heart. There was also an elderly prophetess, Anna, who affirms the prophecy. Why have I told you all that? Well, two reasons. Firstly, Christmas is not over. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus and goes on for 40 days, and we are asked to join in that celebration and remembrance. I'm sure many children will be happy with that. Secondly, to remind us that Jesus' divine nature was not only heralded by shepherds, angels, and a star, but by others too. Although the stories are less well known, we should remember that, and that it is something we can and should always be celebrating throughout the year and all times. He was recognised by two prophets, and their words have gone down in history. So, before we leave all the mystical sacredness of Christmas, let us stay for a few more weeks in and at the crib and wait to travel to Jerusalem to mark the ritual that Mary and Joseph faithfully marked 2,000 years ago. We don't need sacrificial animals or objects. We just need our hearts, as the well-known carol In the Bleak Midwinter reminds us. When I am able, I visit the crib at my church or at the cathedral, and I visualise myself crawling in and being in there too with God my Saviour, safe and secure in that holy place. You can visit the crib in reality, in images, in your mind, and leave your heart behind, and then be able to come out into the world and do good and kind acts to reflect the goodness of God. I think that is all he asks of us.
Thank you, Daphne. We've got a few letters to the editor this week. Nick, can you start us off with New Start, please?
Yes, this one's from Mark Rowe. I wish everyone a Happy New Year for 2023. I have decided to live 2023 using the three F's. Faith, football and family. My faith in God will guide me and keep me faith strong. Forgive those who have wronged and who I have wronged. Faith that I can lose weight with Slimming World, where everyone is welcome. Enjoy playing football with Solon Sports and watching football with Winchester City. Both are truly football families who help people both on and off the pitch. If you would like to know more about Solon Sports, who are a mental health football team, and Winchester City FC, just look them up and you will see why I love them both. To continue to grow my close group of friends who are like family to me, plus I say to anyone if I have lost contact, please feel free to look me up on Facebook, Mark J.A. Rowe, so we can reconnect. Finally, let's make Winchester, Hampshire, and where you live a fantastic place to live, and welcome to everyone. And as I say, that's from Mark Rowe, R-O-W-E, from Taplings Close Week.
The second letter is from Alexandra Phillips, and it's entitled Ecogen Misery. All should be revealed. In case you thought planning laws are there to protect the environment and safeguard the interests of taxpaying residents, think again. Nor that by refusing permission for Ecogen Recycling to double their operations, the misery of those who live along Loveden Lane and Stoke Charity Road will go away. The County Council Regulatory Committee last Wednesday refused permission solely on a technicality. As noise surveys differed from each other, permission was refused on that count alone. Eco-Gen were probably delighted with this spineless result, as they must know that all that's needed is to get the survey sorted, appeal against the decision, to be home and dry. Doubling the number of huge HGV deliveries per day will not raise the level of noise pollution, merely double the frequency. No consideration was made of the deeply held concerns of local residents. Real dangers to other road users, pedestrians, cyclists and motorists alike. Highways agency representatives discounted these as road widening schemes were proposed. Nor is anyone concerned about the damage done to the tarmac and grass verges. Potholes are already an issue, and trucks are mounting the verges where they can't otherwise pass each other. Rattling windows and manhole covers and air pollution can all be added to the mix. The traffic along this country lane is relentless, and I loathe these huge juggernauts thundering past. Bad enough with all the windows closed, but appalling in summer. Many houses are much nearer the road than ours. A solution for all would be for Eco-Gen to link the rear of their site to the nearby Alsford Drove, running from Waller's Ash to Lunways Junction with the A33. Alternatively, negotiate with Network Rail as the site backs directly onto the main Waterloo line. Is anyone interested in this? All we heard from Eco-Gen was what a marvellous company they are, with the implication that we should all be grateful that they are here at all. I wonder how our county councillors ever allowed a company generating so much HGV traffic, with only a narrow country lane for access, to set up at North Winchester Farm in the first place. Alexandra Phillips, Loveden Lane, Kingsworthy.
This next letter is headed Concert Concern, and it comes from Tony Gaster. I have sung with Wainfleet Singers since 1982. What a joy. And one of the highlights is concerts given in our cathedral, which, because of members who work, need to be on a Saturday. However, I have learned from friends that this may be coming to an end. Excuse me. Indeed, that other choirs have been forced to cancel proposed concerts this summer. I just wonder what is happening to spoil our long association with this beautiful church. A cathedral is such an important part of the community, and one that many of us support financially. It would seem to be an enormous shame to see that end. And that's Tony Gaster from Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester.
Dennis Findlay writes about quality issues. Regarding the letter from Robert Barnes in the Hampshire Chronicle on January the 5th, I had a moment of reflection, as BS 5750 and ISO 9000 were mentioned in Mr. Barnes' comments on value engineering. I was heavily involved with MOD, the Navy, for quite a few years, and my first informal introduction to quality assurance systems was at a presentation by Spikenell in 1978. Rear Admiral Derek Spikenell, the ultimate quality assurance hurricane, from BSI. Value engineering did hit the buffers, glad to say. Trying to introduce that was then a step too far for industry. And I did eventually find myself endeavouring to introduce quality systems into UK engineering firms. In one large organisation, which had many locations around the UK, I spent a week of concentrated effort at one of their sites. On the Friday afternoon before I departed, we had a wash-up meeting, as scripted in the system. The nominated chair, a director of the company, opened the meeting by saying, "We are only having this meeting because ISO 9000 says so." Where did I go wrong? I left deflated. As a matter of interest, that company had folded completely by 1999. And that piece is from Dennis Findlay, Brooklyn Close, Waltham Chase.
Here is a short item entitled Shameful Hurt. It comes from somebody called I-G-E-U, Goo or Jew, I don't know, from Cook Lane in Ashurst. You recently reviewed the book The Hampshire Hunt, 1749-2022. You described the book as documenting the long and illustrious history of the hunt. I would substitute the word shameful for the word illustrious. That's Ijew, Cook Lane, Ashurst, Southampton.
And this next letter, it's on a subject dear to my heart. I'll explain why when I've read it, and it's from Julia Sanderson, and it's headed Missing Bin. Is anyone able to explain one of life's mysteries to me, please? Until a few months ago, there was a large orange recycling bin for hard plastics in the Badger Farm Sainsbury's car park. It was much used by the public, though not sufficiently frequently emptied, and was often surrounded by bags and boxes of plastic as it was full to bursting. This being the only bin I knew about in the Winchester area, I am at a loss to understand why it was removed and has never been replaced. Given that the public obviously had a need for this facility, why, oh why, has it been taken away? And Julia Sanderson lives in Clifton Road, Oram's Arbour, Winchester. I used to take all my hard plastics there, and I went and asked at Badger Farm Information Desk why it had been taken away, and they just said it's a management decision, and there was nothing more they could tell me. So there you go.
Patients and staff need a new doctor's surgery. When reading the Chronicle recently, I could not believe that another important scheme, which is the new doctor's surgery for St Clement's, was heading down the Swanee. The whole surgery in Tanner Street is clapped out. We need, and that's Chronicle December 29th, sorry, I should add, we need a nice new modern surgery for today's needs. Not only that I feel the doctors, nurses and staff there deserve better, you cannot wish for a more dedicated team than them. I cannot speak more highly of them. But also us patients deserve it too. So let's hope the council gets it sorted and soon. And there's even a diagrammatic picture of what the new proposed St Clement's surgery on the corner of Friarsgate and Upper Brook Street would look like to accompany that letter, which is from Michael Kitley, Froman Road, Week.
NHS excuses. This comes from Carol Orchard, Northview, Oram's Arbour. Steve Bryan, visiting the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, blamed flu and COVID for this year's winter pressures on the NHS. Figures cited in Hugh Saunderson's letter of January the 5th already demolished Mr. Bryan's defence of the government's record on health spending. His excuses for the huge rise in demand for acute services are equally suspect. Flu, COVID, and an ageing population haven't helped, but healthcare demand has also been affected by the government's economics and social policies over the last 13 years. To mention a few examples, poverty and income inequality are both associated with poor health, but little has been done to improve either. In fact, the gap between rich and poor has widened, with the income share of the richest rising from 7% to 8.2% between 2011 and 2020. Poor housing is also detrimental to health, but since 2010, housing affordability has worsened, the average age of first-time house buyers has risen to 32, and the National Housing Federation estimated in 2019 that over 8 million people were living in unaffordable, insecure or unsuitable homes. Lastly, This country has very high levels of obesity. 68% of men and 60% of women obese or overweight in 2022. Yet the government promptly removed proposals to reduce the levels of sugar, salt and fat in processed food from Henry Dimbleby's recommended food strategy. With millions of patients waiting for operations and health staff feeling so overworked and underpaid that they have voted to strike, there is little evidence that governments since 2010 have been caring for the health of the National Health Service. It doesn't look as though they've been paying much attention to public health either. Cowra Orchard, Northview, Orms Arbour, Winchester.
Waiting in limbo. After the recent publication of increased NHS waiting lists, I'd like to express my deep concern that NHS management in Hampshire could be hiding the true extent of the patient waiting list backlog in this area. From personal experience, I have been waiting for a consultant appointment for my cataracts since May 2022. As I understand it, I don't even reach the waiting list and the official figures until I get this appointment. I have therefore to wonder if my appointment is deliberately delayed in order to hide huge numbers off the official waiting lists. Perhaps I stand alone with an unfortunate personal experience, or perhaps I'm one of thousands waiting for all sorts of treatment held in limbo outside the official statistics. And that's from Martin Simpson, Benenden Green, Alsford.
Great work, NHS. And this one's from John Knutson. To provide some balance, I would like to share my recent experience with the NHS. Last Thursday morning, an increasingly painful but minor medical problem drove me to report it to my GP's online chat system, which only took 2 minutes. Within 30 minutes, the surgery called me with an appointment to see my GP in 2 hours. During that consultation, the GP phoned the RHCH, Royal Hampshire County Hospital, where I was admitted within the hour. I had a small procedure the next day and was discharged on Sunday with all necessary medication and supplies. I would like to thank my surgery, St Clement's, and all the staff on St Cross Ward RHCH for the great work they do for us all. P.S. Having written this, it struck me how much more difficult my experience would have been if I had had to travel to the proposed new hospital near Basingstoke. And that letter is from John Knutson, Hatherley Road, Full Flood in Winchester.
That's all the letters, but if you have an opinion or a subject that you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or email news@hampshirechronicle, all one word, .co.uk. Or you could write a good old-style letter to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Now, moving on, we will continue with the editorial comment. Have your say. Letter from Westminster and Belgarum. The editor heads up her article this week with The Sad Death of Diane Robbins, 82. For many people, the thought that their funeral would be attended by nobody would be horribly bleak. That is what could have happened to Ms. Diane Robbins. The 82-year-old died alone in her council property on Fox Lane in Stanmore last year. It would seem without family or friends. Her body lay undiscovered for several weeks with only her cats for company. when details of the funeral were discovered, a call on social media was made and four people attended the service, including a Hampshire Chronicle reporter, to make sure the final act in Ms. Robins' life did not go unmarked. Now she is laid to rest, what happened to her should not be forgotten. Neighbours had raised concerns during her life, but they would appear to have gone unheeded by the authorities, including the City Council and Hampshire Social Services. This is a highly unusual case in a small place such as Winchester, but it is no less shocking, and it is important that lessons are learned to minimise the chances of it happening again. And now the letter from Westminster. The Winchester MP Steve Brine has a few words for us. Paul, enlighten us.
For more than a decade, constituents have attended my open meetings to talk directly with some of the people and organisations affecting their lives. Last year, COP President Alok Sharma came to Winchester for a very popular Ask the Minister session, and we've previously had an Ask South Western Railway on train issues, as well as several Ask the NHS meetings with local health leaders. Next month, the series continues with Ask the Airport, when the senior team at Southampton International Airport will be coming to Coldon Common. On the evening of Thursday, February the 9th, Steve Slathalay will be among those talking about issues, including their current ambition to extend the runway at Southampton International Airport. For many, especially those living south of Winchester, Southampton Airport is, of course, a key issue. Local families use it for business or pleasure and enjoy the convenience, but will have questions about its future and issues such as flight paths. The ongoing airspace change programme is a necessary modernisation of our skies, but it's important, as happened in the past, the views of Winchester are not overlooked just because the airport sits across the border in the Eastleigh Borough. This is a unique opportunity to hear directly from airport bosses. If you want to attend, please register your interest at www.stevebrine.com/asktheairport. Secondly, constituents will be very interested in a major new prevention inquiry launched yesterday by the Health and Social Care Committee, at which I now lead. Preventing ill health offers the biggest opportunity for everyone to enjoy a better quality of life, and I think is the only way to keep our National Health Service sustainable. Plain logic says what will happen if demand continues to outpace supply at current levels. But what does prevention look like and how can we promote it? We're inviting everyone, not just professionals working in the sector, to tell us which areas we should be focusing on. It's a rare offer from a select committee. We're interested in how health can be impacted by wider factors, such as the impact of poor housing as a determinant of ill health or air quality. We want to look at some of the staples, which we still don't have a grip on as a society, including obesity, smoking, alcohol and drug abuse, all of which drive bad health and cost the NHS billions. We'll use our findings to set a challenge for the government to boost prevention significantly. We intend to set a clear direction on what steps ministers must take. You can get involved at www.stevebrine.com/priority NHS. Finally, it's been a heavy news week in Westminster. On Monday, I voted for and was stunned to see Labour and the Liberal Democrats do the opposite. Our promised minimum service levels bill, as it came before the Commons for the first time. The first job of any government is to keep the public safe. And while we will always protect the right to strike, we are duty-bound to protect the lives and the livelihoods of British people, as we promised in our 2019 manifesto. Minimum service levels, which would bring us in line with France, Spain and Italy, would guarantee the public safety and ensure access to essential services during strikes. Ministers will absolutely continue to engage in open and fair dialogue with the unions to end the strikes, while ensuring people can continue to use the services they rely on for their everyday lives. Steve Brine, Member of Parliament, Winchester and Chandlersford.
Thank you. Now, first person. Kimberly Barber has new ways of telling news in first person this week. Here's Daphne.
Thank you. And this article is of particular interest to us, the volunteers, and part of all the teams that work together to produce the talking newspaper for you each week. So Kimberly Barber writes, "When you picture a newspaper editor, most of you probably imagine that I would be poring over articles in just one title, pulling up reporters for typos, checking stories, demanding answers and setting assignments are most likely what you would picture a stereotypical editor would be doing. In films, editors are usually portrayed as an older man with a bottle of whiskey on his desk who ponders, quite often while smoking, and then grumpily shouts orders. However, that's not quite the case with my role. With six titles based out of three offices in three separate cities and towns, and a huge digital news presence across Hampshire and Wiltshire, I am often pulled in all manner of interesting ways. It's no secret that local news has evolved greatly in the past two decades. The arrival of websites and the mass sign-up to social media has made accessing news easier and cheaper than ever. The web has brought about great changes for local newspapers, and my predecessors were not always at the fore of those changes. Companies like Amazon, eBay, Jobsite, Rightmove, Gumtree, Autotrader, even the likes of Tinder, all moved into areas that local newspapers used to dominate. It's fair to say that it's taken a while for local newspapers to catch up. While you may not be buying your local paper to look at jobs, classified ads, or even find the love of your life anymore, I hope people are still buying the paper for the news and for the value it adds to the community. Anyway, to come back to my original point. As a newspaper editor for six titles, I am often called to do the most interesting things, in between the paperwork, office administration, and other things like endless online meetings. One of these interesting outings was to Winchester Talking Newspaper. A group of volunteers each week take a printed copy of the Hampshire Chronicle, read it and dissect it, pick out the highlights, then spend Friday mornings reading it out loud and recording a spoken version. They then put this version onto memory sticks. A version is also available from their website, winchestertalkingnews.com, and then distribute it to blind and partially sighted people across the city and the surrounding area. This is something they have done for many years, and despite largely reading the Hampshire Chronicle, they have not been officially affiliated with the newspaper. After one of their volunteers came to our Hampshire Chronicle open day, I accepted their invitation to be a guest reader. During a pleasant morning spent at their current base in Winnall, I learnt they were potentially looking for a new home. After much deliberations, I'm delighted to say that they will soon be moving into our offices in Upper Brook Street. It's a pleasure to be able to help a charity by hosting them. One volunteer asked, how much? And I replied, can you make a round of tea and bring biscuits? I think they were okay with that. But also to help support an organisation that has been helping people to access our work in a different format for a long time. Reading our news out loud gives a new perspective of the language and phrasing we use, and I hope our reporters will take turns in guest reading for them. There is a growing desire for news to be distributed across all mediums. Just look at the growth in popularity of podcasts. And with all their experience of creating audio recordings, I hope that we will be able to learn something from them, as well as ensure that our news continues to reach everybody who wants to hear it in our community.
Oh, that's very nice, isn't yes. it? Nice thing.
Excellent.
Here we go. Bulgarum's got come up with a few little pieces this week. Nick, tell us more.
Yes, the first one's entitled Charleston to Cheer Up That Winter Gloom.
Ooh.
A dance teacher has started giving Charleston classes in Winchester. Lindsay Wheeler, a dance and exercise teacher from Fareham, is offering Charleston classes at Week Community Centre. The six-week dance course is running until February the 9th from 7:30pm to 8:30pm. It costs £64 and it's open to everyone. No previous dance experience is required. Lindsay said, "I'm genuinely delighted to be bringing Charleston classes to Winchester, and it's my hope that the exuberance, humour and energy of this fabulous dance will provide some winter joy to both complete beginners and more experienced dancers. Courses will run throughout the year, with a different routine being taught every time." She said, "The first Charleston course is now underway at Week Community Centre, and I'm delighted to say the ages range from about 20 to 84 years old, with both men and women attending. We start from scratch, then we work towards a routine, and in the final session, people can dress up in the 1920s style. It's a lot of fun." Lindsay added, "It has been transformative for me to move into teaching group exercise and dance classes for adults, not only because of the physical benefits, but because the effects are so much more." Now, the next piece has the title of Back in the Art of the City. After years spent in buildings elsewhere in the city, the Winchester School of Art has returned to the Guildhall. Last autumn, Southampton University made the decision to expand its teaching spaces for the Winchester School of Art into the Guildhall, back where the school previously stood. A Southampton University spokesman said, "WSA needed more teaching space, and it was a great opportunity for us to be back in some of the space we had historically occupied when the School of Art was newly created. Hence our name already above the door of the building. It is great to be in the heart of Winchester, with students being able to explore the historic city and feel part of the community." The Winchester School of Art was founded in 1870 and was initially located at the Bishop's Palace. However, in 1873, the housemaster at Winchester College, Frederick Morsehead, secured funding to build an art school attached to the Guildhall. In 1876, construction of the school was completed, which they used for approximately 60 years. Due to pressure on space, they had to move elsewhere and eventually built a new site on Park Avenue in 1966. Right, the third Bulgarum piece is Best of West End in Big Screen Revival. A Winchester theatre is hosting cinema-style screenings of London theatre productions, including The Crucible and Life of Pi. The Theatre Royal in Winchester has released dates for upcoming screenings of performances from the National Theatre Live performing in London's West End. The development, which sees the theatre return to its previous life as a cine variety theatre, follows the installation of new equipment. Tickets for the screenings cost £16. And finally from Bulgarum for this week, Pat on the Back for Theatre Company. Winchester's famous Blue Apple Theatre recently had a new production, Lashings of Ginger Beer, taking place at the Theatre Royal. The three-day run started on Friday, January the 6th, and MP Steve Brine dropped backstage to meet the cast and wish them well. Mr. Brine said, "I've followed Blue Apple for years and really enjoyed watching it grow, and some of its stars, not least Tommy Jessop, of course, grow up. The reviews for this new show are, unsurprisingly, first class as usual. Many congratulations to everyone involved." And believe it or not, there's a picture to go with that of Mr. Brine stood with the Blue Apple cast, and they've all got their thumbs up.
Thank you, Nick.
Up what?
Right, now let's take a look at what's on in the region over the next couple of weeks. Let's see now. My Fair Lady, who doesn't love a nice musical, that's on at the Mayflower Theatre in Southampton, and that's on from the 19th of January to the 29th of January. Then on, over this weekend, we've got Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. The Otterbourn Theatre Company pantomime is on from the 20th to the 22nd of January at the Otterbourn Village Hall. Oh, yes, it is. Then from the Saturday the 21st, there's an exhibition celebrating the legacy of one of Britain's most popular cartoonists, Norman Thelwell. He of the little fat ponies and chubby little riding girls, adorable little things. That is on at Mottisfont. Yes, because he's actually buried at just round the corner from there, at Timsbury. So he lived round there, and that exhibition is on until the 7th of May, so there's plenty of time to see that. One Man and a Guitar, Martin Joseph, is on at the Brook in Southampton on Sunday the 22nd of January. And on Tuesday the 24th of January, there's an opportunity to sing with the Winchester Community Choir at 7:30 at the United Church in Jury Street. Come and sing with a friendly community choir, they say. Moving on to next week, Saturday the 28th, the comedian Hal Cruttendon is on at the Theatre Royal in Winchester. And on the same day, there's something that sounds rather lovely. It's there's a Haydn's Creation and the world premiere of O Lord, Our Lord by Oliver Tarney. And that's being performed by the Winchester City Festival Choir at St Swithin's School, Alsford Road. Tickets, I believe, through the Theatre Royal box office or Play to the Crowd. That sounds lovely. I was going to mention the screening of The Crucible at the National Theatre, but Belgarum's already done that. So I think that's all we've got for you coming up. But there seems to be quite a lot, which is rather good. So, right, here are the lighting up times. On Saturday the 21st of January, the sun will set at 4:37 p.m. And on Wednesday the 25th of January, the sun will rise at 7:52 a.m. and will set at 4:44 p.m. And now it's on to items of general news. Paul, would you like to kick us off this week, please?
Hampshire-based musician John Callcutt has raised millions for various charities. A 76-year-old musician who has raised millions of pounds for various charities for more than 58 years has been awarded a CBE. John Callcutt, who lives in Sutton, Scotney, has been honoured for his services to charity and to philanthropy. He said, I am absolutely humbled by the nomination because it is not all just about me. There are so many people in the world who probably do much more than I have done who never get noticed. I am always part of a bigger team and would always want to remember all those people who worked with me on all the different projects around the world to make it possible. John said through his music he has raised £45,000 in 2022. He has also put on a major concert with guests including Eric Clapton and Tom Jones, raising over £1 million in March 2020 for the Royal Marsden Cancer Charity. More recently, John has put together 3 vanloads of donations to be given to Ukrainian refugees.
Thank you. Daphne, what have you got for us?
Right. W.H. Smith targeted twice in 3 days. Windows and doors have been smashed at a stationery store in Winchester with 2 break-ins in 3 days. W.H. Smith has been victim to 2 burglaries in 3 days, with the thieves targeting cigarettes. The first happened in the early hours of Thursday, January the 12th, and the second last Saturday, January the 14th. The windows of the entrance on Parchment Street have been completely smashed and are now boarded up. Manager Tom Miller said the investigation is ongoing, but the incident had been captured on CCTV and the city rangers believe they know who it is, with the individual having a history of repeat offences. Mr. Miller said, "It has a massive negative impact on the business. Fortunately, the company is big enough to deal with it, but I hope it will get W.H. Smith to buck its ideas up in terms of security. In general, we've noticed a lot more theft over the past few years with COVID and the current economic climate. Our alarm system doesn't seem to be enough of a deterrent for offenders, as with the low numbers of police officers, they know they have enough time." And he was optimistic that the culprit would be tracked down, saying, "I'm confident the police will be able to find him because his face is on CCTV and his DNA is in the store. It's inconvenient to customers and we've had lots of curiosity about it." Meanwhile, another window at the shop was smashed earlier in the week and remains boarded up. A spokesperson for Hampshire Police said, "During the early hours of January the 12th, entry was forced into W.H. Smith High Street, Winchester. A quantity of cigarettes were stolen. A second break-in occurred during the early hours of January the 14th. Entry was forced to the premises and the offender targeted cigarettes. The shop manager said that this is the second time the business has been targeted in his 5 years working there, with another break occurring 8 months ago. Customers are being directed to use the main entrance in the high street." And there's a picture there of the doors with boards over them, and inside glass all over the floor.
Sewage flood strikes again. A road next to a Hampshire chalk stream has flooded a second time in 2 weeks, with sewage flowing into the river. Kiln Lane, near Branbridge Garden Centre, flooded last Saturday with water containing sewage spewing from a lifted manhole and into the River Itchen. Flooding started in the morning, following heavy rainfall. Southern Water started work on Saturday night, with 5 tankers being used to remove the excess water and sewage via the nearby pumping station. The road has been closed to through traffic. Work is expected to continue until today, Thursday, which was probably last Thursday now. The garden centre has remained open and is accessible from Highbridge Road, with closures in place at the bridge. City Councillor Sue Cook was at the site throughout Saturday until midnight and called the police, Hampshire Highways and Southern Water a number of times to get the road closed, as she deemed it unsafe. Drivers were advised by Coldon Common Parish Council at about 5 p.m. on Saturday to proceed with caution, while pedestrians were told to be aware that the water contained sewage. Residents were later updated by the parish council of the road closure shortly after 9 p.m. Councillor Cook said, "A lot of pressure had to be put on various authorities to get this sorted. I watched so many near misses before the road was eventually closed. I'm disappointed that Hampshire Highways and the police weren't more proactive. I saw so many near misses of people nearly hitting the manhole, which is about 6 inches thick. Cyclists could have come down too. Hundreds of cars use this road and they kept it open. To see all that water going into the Itchen is just so sad. It's horrible what you see. The colour of the water is not pleasant. It's all brown and sludgy. I can't credit the supervisor in charge of the operation, though. There's no odour, but toilet paper is being hoiked out by the workers. This shouldn't have to get to this point, and it's not going to stop here. The flooding follows previous reports of sewage flowing into the Hampshire Chalk Stream after a resident from Alsford described a smelly leak and branded the incident an environmental disaster. An Environment Agency spokesman said, "Our investigation into a number of discharges from sewer overflows at Branbridge over Christmas continues. This includes assessing whether they adversely affected the Itchen. The discharges are caused by water runoff from the land getting into the drainage system and then released into the river." A spokesperson for Southern Water said, "We are sorry for the upset and inconvenience caused by this matter to residents. We are mitigating any environmental impact with tankers and will look to reopen the road as soon as possible." And needless to say, there are a couple of photographs attached to that showing water bubbling out of the ground, fortunately just water, and a flooded road and a tanker pumping the water away.
Oh. Plastics ban, good news for party business. A social enterprise leader who supplies reusable party kits has backed the government's plan to ban single-use plastic plates and cutlery in England. Isabel Mack founded Winchester Party Kit and the global social enterprise Party Kit Network to reduce the amount of single-use items being used at parties and to improve the environment. Mrs. Mack was pleased to hear Environment Secretary Therese Coffey announce that the government will ban such single-use plastic plates and cutlery in England, but feels the change is overdue. Mother of two, Isabel, who was named in the Women in Social Enterprise Top 100 list for 2022, said, "It's great news. It's been a long time coming, and the United Kingdom is way behind other countries, but it's nice to get the confirmation that the ban is going ahead. It will be interesting to see whether the documents come out, when the documents come out, whether the ban includes bioplastics, as there is no clear guidance on whether they are classed as reusable or how to recycle them. We have to move away from our disposable culture. There is no longer an excuse for using single-use plastics at parties, and Party Kit provides such a simple change that instantly reduces waste." The Winchester not-for-profit organisation, set up in January 2020, supplies three types of party kits, including plastic, bamboo, and an adult party kit with stainless steel cutlery. The service covers Winchester, Hursley, Twyford and Colden Common, where the reusable tableware is delivered before picked up and washed. Mrs. Mack said, when people try to be more eco-friendly, the barriers are often a lack of knowledge or of alternatives. People don't often think about us because they don't realise they're here. When people use us, they often say, why weren't we doing this before? Because it's such a simple change. The local support and amount of people rehiring has been fantastic. The company owner estimates that from 61 parties, 9,330 single-use plastics, including plates, bowls, cups and cutlery, were avoided through Party Kit Winchester in 2022. This is an increase from 1,656 in 2021. That's from 1,656 to 9,330. This is highlighting the growth of the service. Good news for party business.
Nick was just talking about the flooding in Branbridge, so this article is a little bit more, not about that, but about other events. So it's headed Wind and Rain Wreaks Havoc. Torrential downpours and heavy winds have hit Hampshire, causing transport disruption and cancelled events. A driver was hit by a tree along the A34 near Winnall last Friday. The driver, Charlotte Appleby from Portsmouth, has since posted on Facebook on Hampshire Drivers to say she is thankful to be alive. The car has been written off and Miss Appleby went to A&E with head and neck pain. Drivers going past the incident were concerned and thought the outcome could have been a lot worse, according to Facebook comments posted in Winchester Picks after Miss Appleby's post was shared. Her post read, "Had a tree fall onto my car on the A34 today. I would love to find the people who ran to help and called all the services. Very thankful to be alive." Meanwhile, Romsey Lions Club cancelled its Saturday book stall. In a Facebook post, the club said, "Rain we can cope with, but rain and gusting winds make it unsafe to put up our gazebos. So we have taken the decision to cancel our book stall today. We return with our book stall in Romsey Corn Market on the 11th of February." And Winchester's park run at Northwalls Recreation Ground was also cancelled. With flooding along the 5-kilometre route, the conditions were deemed unsafe. The event hopes to return this Saturday, January the 21st at 9 a.m.
Thriving pubs keep defying the downturn. Three Winchester pubs have had a successful Christmas trade, despite others throughout the city struggling. While the Willow Tree on Derngate had to close just before Christmas, the Wickham Arms, William Walker and Bridge Street House have all thrived. The Wickham Arms, owned by Fullers, had the best year we've ever had, according to General Manager John Howard. He said, "We had 120 people in for lunch on Christmas Day. The bar was open and it was really popular. We are a hotel as well. We've got 14 rooms, so most of the people who were staying in our bedrooms were having lunch as well. On the Sunday before Christmas, we also had the Winchester Cathedral Choir and choristers in the pub for a private small carol service, which is something we do every year. It was brilliant. On the current rising costs," he said, "we have to be really mindful of costs. Every business does. But the reality is we can't control the cost of energy and food. So we are just focusing on things we can control ourselves. Just really pushing services, hospitality, food, quality and doing our best with the things we can control." The William Walker, also owned by Fuller's, said bookings were flying through Christmas and New Year. Front of house staff member Fiona Coates said, "We have the Winchester Christmas Market. That's quite famous. Because of that, we're a main business that gets all the foot traffic. So you can imagine we were absolutely heaving for the 6 weeks the market was on. I know there was one Saturday when the queue went from the cathedral corner all the way to the High Street." Bridge Street House welcomed new management in November, which has been very well received by their customers. Bar manager Adam Snowden said, "The food has brought a lot of new people in. New chef, new menu, that's doing really well. The Sunday roast is in particularly really good." The previous Christmas, where COVID was a lot more present, it was a lot slower. "We closed early on New Year's Eve last year because there just wasn't really anyone. but this year it was really busy. The cost of living crisis definitely affected the pub in January, so compared to December, it's a lot more noticeable. But it's how everywhere is in January, really. So it isn't too bad.
And
Pilgrim's old boy named New Head. A pilgrim's school in Winchester has announced Tim Butcher as its next head. He is currently head of the prep school and deputy head at Hallfield School Trust in Edgbaston. He talks with pride of already having a real love for the pilgrims community, having both attended pilgrims as a boy, becoming head querister and a first team player across all sports, and then returning to teach at the school as head of history early in his career. He will take up his new post in September 2023. He is a graduate of the University of Warwick and completed his teacher training at the University of York. He has gained both choir school and leadership experience throughout his career, having been head of history and assistant housemaster at Pilgrims, then head of boarding at the Chorister School in Durham, before next becoming deputy head at Winchester House School and then head of Perrott Hill School in Somerset. He said, "It is an enormous honour to be appointed to lead a community I already have a deep connection to and abiding affection for. My time at Pilgrims as a boy was foundational for me. It is unique and quite simply one of the finest prep schools in the country. I'm greatly looking forward to returning and bringing all that I can to its continued success as we look to the future with conviction and confidence." Chair of Governors Ian Power said, "The governors have every confidence that Tim will provide forward-thinking leadership for the school and quickly build deep and effective relationships with Pilgrims' pupils, staff and parents, as well as continue to develop Pilgrims' wider relationships within the local community, the city and further afield. The Pilgrims' School, founded in 1931, is an independent day and boarding school for boys aged 4 to 13 in Winchester Inner Close. Mr. Butcher replaces Dr. Sarah Essex, who left last year after only 2 years in charge."
Call on kids online safety. Hampshire Police and Crime Commissioner Donna Jones has backed calls for the online safety bill to go further to safeguard children. The comments come after Conservative MPs have put pressure on the government to ensure the legislation holds social media bosses to account for harmful content. Speaking on the matter, Ms. Jones said, "Protecting children should be the number one priority for any government. Harmful online content is affecting children every day, from encouraging suicide to putting them at risk of sexual abuse. The internet can be a dangerous place for our children, and fining big tech companies is not enough. It must go further, with criminal prosecution leading to prison time for those found to be knowingly allowing harmful content to be available. I fully support a criminal prosecution and up to 2 years in prison for those who fail to safeguard the most vulnerable in our society. This is an opportunity to protect a generation of children now and in the future." PCC Donna Jones has contributed to the draft legislation in her role as the Joint APCC Lead for Victims, and previously put forward her support to increase the list of priority offences that relate to harmful material to be removed by platforms.
Public have their say on future of Old Army Base. A public consultation on the future of the Bushfield Camp Army Base near Winchester has taken place. Shawford Parish Hall hosted members of the public who were keen to share their thoughts on the proposals last Friday. The consultation saw representatives from planning, building and ecology explain the scheme. It also featured displays and maps. Ed Street said, "I feel quietly confident. The proposal is quite well put together and professional." Alan Michael, former member of Twyford Parish Council, said, "It's wasted space. I've lived here for 50 years and nothing has been done with it. Every time I go past there, it's not being used." Marion Crowley from St Cross said, "The big fear was it all being developed. I'd like it to be developed modernly for research, development and education. I think it will be good as long as it isn't completely taken over by the development and I can still go dog walking. Should planning permission be granted in 2023, building work is due to start in 2025. Those behind the scheme say it has the potential to attract major brands looking for new headquarters to the county from sectors including life science, academia, media and the health sector. It is proposed that half the site will be retained as green space and managed to increase its biodiversity." A second consultation event took place last Saturday at Badger Farm Community Centre. Meanwhile, Winchester Action on Climate Crisis has organised a public meeting on Saturday, January the 28th, to discuss the development. That will be at 10:30 a.m. at the St Lawrence's Parish Room in Colebrook Street.
Now, good news for those of you who are in the wee small hours have a hunger for a takeaway. Green light for 3 a.m. pizza.
Hurrah!
A city centre pizza parlour will be able to deliver until 3 a.m. despite concerns of a nearby nightclub. Papa John's in St George's Street applied to stay open for collection and delivery until 3 a.m. However, the Winchester City Council Licensing Subcommittee said that it would allow them to open to 1 a.m. for collection and 3 a.m. for delivery. This is the same situation for Domino's in Upper Brook Street. The decision was made at a meeting on January the 17th, extending it from its previous opening hours of 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. This comes after Vodka Bar, a nightclub in Upper Brook Street, was successful in applying to extend its opening hours to 4 a.m. Vodka co-owners Calvin Collymore and Lee Davis submitted an objection to the pizza shop proposal. A second public objection was received Mr. Collins of Upper Brook Street. However, the applicant Hamble Foods Limited made it clear that provisions have been made to minimise potential disruption. Anshul Kattar, director of Hamble Foods, said, "We have had no objections from residents who live in the flats above the pizza shop. The public objections are based on speculation. The premises does not serve alcohol and food is sold to be eaten off the site. Staff receive special training on how to avoid altercations." In the objection from Mr. Collins, he said that his clothes and furniture smell of pizza. His flat is far away from the pizza shop. We have an exhaust provision. There are no plans to serve alcohol on the site. Mr. Kattar added that the reason behind the application was that business had been slow recently and that Domino's in Upper Brook Street is open for delivery till 3 a.m. However, it is only open for collection till 1 a.m. He concluded, "We are not making a profit. In the last 9 months, we have lost £50,000. It took Papa John's 8 years to find a site in Winchester. Domino's is open for delivery until 3 a.m, so we're losing customers. We have 15 staff, but business is slow. This is a desperate need for more opening hours." However, Vodka's nightclubs, Mr. Collymore said, "If Papa John's do this, then our security team will have to deal with issues from both sides. Papa John's is close to us, so if people make a mess, it's more work for our security team. How will the noise be policed? If they had their own security, then it would be okay. We don't want our door staff being dragged away to other incidents."
Butcher goes solo with new business. A butcher who has been in the trade for more than 20 years has set up her own business near Alsford. Emily McInnes, who worked her way up from being a Saturday girl at age 14, has launched McInnes Meats at a unit in Bramdean. Leaving her position at Soul's Butchers in Alsford behind, Emily has fulfilled her dream of pursuing her own butchery business with the hope that one day she can pass the trade down to her children. The butcher, age 36, brought in her first delivery of beef to her base at Wood Farm on January the 10th to cut to order. Emily is now urging the public to get in contact with their orders and spread the word of her start-up business, which offers cuts to specific needs with the meats then packaged and prepared for collection. The new business owner said, "I'm super excited and can't stop smiling. I want to spread my wings and do something for myself." People nowadays are looking at where their meat has been reared and produced, and I'm hoping to give customers assurance that they're buying quality, locally sourced produce. The cost of living crisis is on my mind, but the business will be a long-term thing, as it can only go from strength to strength. The economy isn't great, but typically people would rather spend money on good quality meat, which will stretch further. I've received a lot of well wishes and positive inquiries from potential customers, which shows there are people who need my skills. The butcher, who lives in Alsford, moved into the unit at the end of October and has since been getting all the equipment she needs. The mother of two will be running the business on her own, but is open to employing more people if it gets busy further down the line. Emily added, "This is the first time I've ever taken the step to have my own business. It's super exciting but nerve-wracking at the same time. The flexibility I'll now have with my time and two children is a big plus point."
Ending up for grabs. Communities in Winchester District are set to benefit from £300,000 worth in funding for community infrastructure projects this year. The funding is coming as part of Winchester City Council's Community Infrastructure Levy. Parish councils and community groups are now being invited to submit bids to support new or improved facilities that will benefit local residents and help tackle the pressures of extra development. The council is inviting submissions until March the 31st, with funding between £10,000 and £200,000 available to wholly or partly fund projects that improve infrastructure for areas such as walking, cycling and active travel, education, sport and leisure facilities, health and cultural facilities, and more. The levy is raised by contributions from new development in the district, with over £1.5 million having already been allocated to 38 different community-led projects as part of the levy since 2019. The money has helped to part-fund projects across the district, including an upgrade to the sports pavilion in Colden Common, a new pedestrian crossing point in Durley, and improved playground facilities at Wickham Recreation Ground. Leader of the council, Martin Todd, said, "This latest round of funding from the Community Infrastructure Levy is a great opportunity for organisations to access vital funds to enhance and support local facilities and infrastructure in the Winchester district. If you want to find out more, visit www.winchester.gov.uk/apply-4-CIL. That's apply-4-CIL.
Full steam ahead for new book on Heritage Railway. A book has been produced to celebrate a Hampshire Heritage Railway and its restoration as part of a new series. Middleton Press has published Watercress Line as the first book in a series on heritage railways within the Ultimate Railway Encyclopedia. 9 months of work went into compiling the album of 120 photographs, which were previously almost entirely unpublished. For the first time in one of its Romilly books, Middleton Press has also featured more than 60 colour photographs. The book covers when the line was acquired by British Railways in 1975, the opening of sections from 1977 to 1985, and the 10 miles of track that now run between New Alsford and Alton. The idea of covering heritage railways in the Ultimate Railway Encyclopedia came from the book's editor, Roy Davis, who's been working with the press company for the past 4 years. Mr. Davis, aged 76, said, "Middleton Press embraced the idea and kicked off with the Watercress line. The decision to include colour is a breakthrough. Railway books are quite niche. They're no J.K. Rowling, but the sales of the Heritage Line books are likely to outsell others in the series. The whole idea was not to do a history of the line, but to feature the efforts of people who brought about the changes to make it the big attraction that it is today. With the heritage focus, we're filling in a gap in the market as a new venture for Middleton Press. Middleton Press has its followers and groupies who buy every book, but there'll be others like locals who will buy it out of interest." Photographer from Paul Cook from Headley put most of the book together, collecting photographs from around 50 photographers and writing detailed captions. Mr. Cook, aged 64, said, "All these railways are struggling with the economy and the current climate. All publicity is good, and hopefully this will encourage more people to go to the Watercress line. I've always had an interest in photographing these railways, and the camera comes out with me most days. I've written a couple of books for Middleton Press before, and this was just another project to get unstuck into." The Railway album is available to purchase from local bookstores or direct from the publisher for £18.95. The next heritage railway in the series will be Somerset, with Paul and Roy hoping to find someone local to write the book under their guidance on the Middleton Press format.
Golf ladies get into the swing of it for mental health. South Winchester Golf Club was delighted to present Solent Mind with a cheque for £4,446.70. Outgoing lady captain Eileen Thompson thanked her committee and club members for their hard work and generous support. She said, "The concept of mental well-being is so relevant to us in the ladies' section. We all have experience of nurture, and so the fit with Solent Mind seemed ideal as they support across the age ranges." Jo Silsbury of Solent Mind expressed the charity's gratitude, saying that the money would facilitate more of the diverse community projects Solent Mind provides in the area, covering many aspects of mental well-being. And that's accompanied by a lovely picture of six of the ladies of the golf club in their golf club uniform holding up one of those gigantic cheques, the presentation ones that you get in these sort of things, with £4,446.70 written across it. They've got broad grins on their faces, and there are the beautiful surroundings of the golf club in the background.
Deadline for Coronation Street parties applications. Winchester residents are being encouraged to apply for temporary road closures for King Charles III's coronation. His Majesty's coronation will be held on Saturday, May the 6th, with an extra bank holiday to mark the event taking place on Monday, May the 8th. The deadline to apply for a road closure is February the 3rd, and you do that again through winchester.gov.uk.
Thank you, Nick. I, for a moment, I thought you said Coronation Street parties, and I was just imagining us all going down to the Rover's Return. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. Now, normally we ask you to put your return labels inside the wallet, but as you heard earlier, we are shortly moving to a new studio. So could you please just reverse your address label and put it back under the window of your wallet for the next couple of weeks? It would really help us with the redirecting of the post. Thanks to all the support teams for the preparation, copying and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to our readers. Daphne Poupart.
Goodbye.
Nick Kearns.
Goodbye.
And Paul Newman.
Goodbye.
And from me, Barbara Kearns, thank you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye and have a great week.